Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILS.
Welcome back, Jack Ebling, Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. For those of you who can't get enough Detroit Lions, want to bring in our next guest, and that is Lions preseason analyst and former tight end, Rob Rubric. Hello, Rob. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing great.
Well, that was a pretty impressive showing, I thought, last week in Denver.
Well, this is Jack, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, you know, Jack, here's the deal with this team. Now, offensively, I like to call them the wow factor. There's a chance that in this offensive unit for the Lions, they could have four wows. And you're looking at, I think Matthew Stafford, from what I've seen, has just unbelievable skill set.
Yeah.
Now, is he going to be a will that translate to being a great quarterback? I don't know. But he has a very strong arm. He's accurate. The ball gets out quick, and he has the real knack for being in command of his team. He's a good leader in the huddle. So you put those things together, I think he's going to be a really good quarterback. And Calvin Johnson's Calvin Johnson. We know that. He's a freak. He's a genetic freak compared to everyone else in the NFL. I mean, he's 6'5", 235. He's the fastest guy in the field. He's the quickest guy in the field, and he has tremendous hands and work ethic. So we know he's going to be great. I think Brandon Pettigrew, people are going to get a taste of him when he gets totally healthy. He's still coming back from the Achilles a little bit. I think he's going to be just a tight end that can get down the field, stretch the defense along with Tony Scheffler. So you put those two together, and then you bring in Javid Best. And the knock on Javid is that he can't run between the tackles. That really irritates me. Are you going to run him 15 times between the tackles in the game? No.
I hope not.
No, he's not that type of back. But can he? Absolutely. You know, but they don't really ask many backs in the NFL to run between the tackles, Jack, now, because they just can't take that type of pounding.
Right.
So I think he's got a chance to be something special as well. They've solidified this offensive line, bringing in Rob Sims. Peterman's playing better. It's the right tackle's a question mark. You got Jansen. You have Gossard, Chehalis really fighting it out there, and neither has really elevated their play above the other one. So that's the interesting part of this offense. So I think offensively they're going to be fun to watch. They're going to score points this year. The question is defense. Mm-hmm. If that front doesn't get to you, the secondary is a little bit thin. That might be an understatement. And the linebacking core is young, so it's a work in progress.
Rob, this is Tom. Yeah, let's go back to that defense because he won, you know, a longtime Lions fan here and took him four or five.
Me too, Tom.
Yeah, decades. Yeah, as you well should be. Even when they were bad, you know, I go back with it. They always had a great defense, you know, Alex Karras, Jerry Rush, you know, but this has been missing in this program. But I tell you what, Kyle Vandenbosch, I thought in the Denver game, showed me that he could be a dominant player at that D end. Can you talk about that other aspect of the D line, and can we get a pass rush that would help that secondary?
Well, you're going to get a pass rush this year because the fact that you have two really good defensive tackles. Corey Williams put up some great numbers in Green Bay and then even in Cleveland until they went to the 34. He's a 4-3 tackle. He's not a nose tackle. He didn't like it. He didn't want to play it, and his performance showed. So now you put him next to Ndamukong Suh. You have two guys that it's going to be difficult to run inside on, but they're not one-trick ponies. They both can rush the passer. So now you can bring pressure from the inside. That just really frees up, allows Cliff Avril, who we know Cliff's not a complete player yet. He's a little bit on the smaller side, but he is a tremendous athlete, very fast off the edge. And you put Vandenbosch on the other side, they're going to pressure the quarterback. The question is, if they don't get to the quarterback in passing situations, how long can that secondary hold up?
Right.
We've had a couple of road preseason games. Now the Lions back in Ford Field, and they have 5 o'clock game today with Cleveland. And then next Thursday they get Buffalo. But in terms of the third game, Rob, they say this is the one where you see a little bit more, and then they shut it down for
the fourth game at all.
What should fans expect to see today, and what are the Lions hoping to see?
Well, the fans are going to see the starters play into the third quarter. It depends, like, say, offense. If they don't get a lot of possessions in the first half, let's say Cleveland's able to run the ball or control it, and the offense doesn't get the type of work they want, Schwartz may play them the entire third quarter. But all things being equal, they're going to probably play halfway through the third quarter, the starting offense. So you'll get a pretty good feel. The problem is that can be deceiving about preseason, Jack and Tom, is the blitz packages is the biggest thing. Teams go a little more vanilla. They will blitz, but they're not doing a lot of zone blitzing, not very many exotic blitzes that they draw up during the week, you know, those mad scientists, those right. defensive coordinators. So it's a little more vanilla. So your pass pro is a little bit better, as we've noticed with Stafford's been protected pretty well by this offensive line. So it gives you a little bit of a false sense of security going into the season. But you're going to see the starters playing well into the third quarter. Louis Delmas will play. He won't play as much because this is really his first action, the safety out of Western Michigan. He'll play probably a quarter, quarter and a half in the first half. They've moved Amari Spavey. He's going to play some inside. He's going to play some safety tonight. I don't know if they feel that he has quite the quickness and speed to play in the corner. He was able to play at Iowa in the Big Ten there, but the NFL is a much different beast. So I think that's what you expect to see. And I think from a fan's perspective, what I'm looking for is what we've seen, is that's consistency with the offense, getting first downs, not having to get a three and out, and defensively getting some three and outs and pressuring the quarterback. I like to see a little bit better coverage. The problem with some of these corners they have, they can run. They got a lot of speed on the corner, but they don't have real good ball skills. When the ball's in the air, they have a difficult time locating it, and that's half of playing corner. You look at someone like Dre Bly. He's long in the tooth, doesn't run as well. But what Dre can do is he has excellent ball skills. He guesses a lot, cheats a little bit, but he's still he'll be probably their nickelback when the season starts.
Right.
Rob, I know the objective of you know these exhibitions. You're trying to get down to your 53-man roster mm-hmm. and do all this evaluation. But could you give us a player perspective of the mental approach to these games? Yeah. You know you're going to make the team. Are you just like trying to avoid getting injury? Like you put me my quarter and a half in and get the heck out of there?
Tom, that's a great question. And I always like to tell people this story. When I was playing and Chris Spielman was there and we're going into training camp one year, Chris said, "Rube, what are you going to work on?" I'm really looking to work on my drops, opening my hips and working on my drops in pass coverage. He said, "What are you working on?" I said, "Making the team." That's what I'm working on. I'm working on not trying to drop two balls in a practice so they cut me. You know, so it's different perspectives for different players. I would say on this roster, probably 50% of absolutely know they're going to be there. And they're going to work on individual techniques and skills, trying not to get injured, trying to get used to the speed of the game. But then there's another 25% that really are trying not to lose their job. They know they probably have it, and they just got to go out and perform. But there's the bottom 25%. This is their livelihood. And that's why I think people need to stay tuned in these games. I know when the starters are out, they say, "Oh, it really doesn't matter." Well, it does matter because the battles take place in the third and fourth quarter in the preseason for positions. You know, we have a very good battle at wide receiver. And what happens is, you know, the three are in. You have Burleson, Johnson, and Johnson are going to be there. Well, one of the fourth receiver's got to be a receiver/return guy. So then you bring Dennis Northcutt into the picture. You have Derek Williams. You have Tim Toon. And then another guy, the fifth guy, might be a receiver/special teams guy where you have Eric Fowler from Grand Valley and Brian Clark. Fowler may be the little better receiver. Clark's supposedly a solid special teams player. So those were the battles. So if you get a chance, maybe try to keep an eye on Eric Fowler, see how he performs on teams. Tight end spot. You know, Will Heller is, you know, he was played a lot last year, but he's really the third now. And, you know, he's a tremendous blocker. But Dan Gronkowski, who's the fourth, is a better downfield receiver. Doesn't block as well. So those are things I like to watch, and I think people really in the Lions fans are pretty educated. They really are. And I think nowadays with the media coverage, guys, and even, it sounds funny, but with the video games, because people do start to understand coverages and how defenses actually work. Not exactly how it works in the NFL, but it gives them, you know, before everyone had a sixth grade knowledge of the NFL. Now right, they probably have right. a ninth grade knowledge, if that makes sense to you.
Jack Ebling and Tom Crawford here with Rob Rubick, a former Lions tight end. And, you know, Tom, I think you have to be a tight end to be on this broadcast crew. I don't know about Matt Shepard. I don't think he was a tight end.
Tom, you a former tight end or Jack? Which one?
Well, you know, Charlie Sanders doing the broadcast on the sidelines, too, and I don't think there's ever been a better tight end than Charlie Sanders. But
well, my parents would argue, but they'd be the only one.
Rob, you're at Lapeer West, where I taught and coached about a century ago.
Was Ken Nelson there then?
Absolutely. He was our head coach. Oh, absolutely. My. We had some great teams there with the Rock Lindsay and Mike Densmore and those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And Spartan.
Absolutely, yeah. When you think about another Spartan, Drew Stanton had a big play last week. And it seems like he's done this a few times in preseason games, and obviously he has some limitations. Is he ever going to get a shot at a job, a real playing situation? Not in Detroit.
And that's why this preseason, I know Drew well, and he's just a great kid. I had a chance to do his high school championship games when he was at Harrison for Fox Sports. I covered it. I did the broadcast. And I followed him as a Spartan. And I know Drew, he plays on my basketball team. In the winter, we travel the state and do fundraisers. And just a tremendous kid, good family. No, he will not play in Detroit. It's, Stafford's here for... Sean Hill doesn't mind. He's a 9-year guy.
Right.
He's going to be a backup here. But Drew, that's why this preseason is important. This is an audition. People forget he's not just auditioning for the Lions. He's auditioning for 31 sure. other teams.
Right.
Matt Cassel is an example of what can happen. You get a shot with another team.
Right.
And you impress if you get a look. And then who knows who may need a quarterback. The Lions probably aren't going to need a quarterback for 12 years.
Right. If all things being... healthy,
right.
Let's say.
Right, that's a bait. That's right. a bait, and that's a legitimate if. And, sometimes I think Drew is so enthusiastic. I mean, when he scored that touchdown, it looked like he was back in high school. I mean, he was jumping up and down. I mean, he's got to be one of these guys who's just so passionate to play. And he spoke, Rob, to our junior Trojan youth program many years ago, and the message he sends, he could be a heck of a coach, let me tell you.
Well, he is. He's a quarterback, and quarterbacks are coaches. They just don't realize it yet. They're still playing, but when they're done, they make great coaches because you have to have the overall knowledge of the game and understand what it takes.
Right.
But here's what I think Drew's going to end up. I think somebody's going to take a chance in the NFL and do one of these. They're going to start running some wildcat. We saw Miami do with Ronnie Brown. Well, my theory is this. You get a Tim Tebow, a Dan LaFever, a Drew Stanton. You bring three of them. You get three of them on your roster, and you can run the spread in the NFL.
These are,
people say, your quarterbacks get beat up. Your quarterbacks get beat up when they're standing in the pocket and they get blindsided.
That's true.
If you got 200, these aren't tiny kids, and Drew Stanton's a big man.
Right. Yeah. And if you have three of them.
Dan LaFever, 230. Tim Tebow, 240, 230. You can run it and have three of them on your roster.
There you go.
And they all can throw. I mean, Ronnie Brown can't throw. So now you can bring that running ability. You have three of them, and you don't have to pay them a lot.
All right, we're gonna hire Rob Rubick as our head coach.
I think it would work.
This is a great theory.
Yeah, I think the NFL would figure it out in time, like anything else. Remember the 46 when I played, Buddy Ryan brought that in, and for a year and a half, it was unstoppable. And the NFL figured, just spread it out. And then you could exploit it. So I think Drew could get a chance with somebody who might want to run some spread. But maybe they keep a drop back pro style, but they may bring a couple other guys that can run it. And I think he'd be good at it. He's not quite the runner of Dan LaFever or a Tim Tebow, but he's not bad.
No, he's a pretty good
runner.
And he's
tough, and he's strong, and he throws the ball. There's just something about him when you watch him against the other guys. He's just got some type of a little bit of a hitch. It's just he's not quite of a fluid of quarterback.
Right.
But that doesn't mean he's not a good quarterback.
Right. Rob Rubick, our guest, the Detroit Lions preseason analyst. And, Rob, we really appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the game tonight, and maybe we'll talk to you during the season.
I'm glad I'm not hourly. When I get my paycheck, I'm glad I'm not hourly. You guys are short. All right.
All right, thanks, Rob.
Thanks
we appreciate
so much,
it.
Rob. Appreciate it.
Yeah, enjoyed it.
First guest we've ever had who wanted to be on longer. All right. We'll be right back, and we're going to talk about the divisional alignments for the Big Ten, coming up next on the Jack and Tom Show.